God bless you.
And all the time. Amen. It's good to be here. We're excited to be here. Pardon us just a minute here as we get our presentation set up. As we're getting set up here, just so you know what we're going to expect, we'll be sharing some pictures and a bit of an update about our family, what we've been up to, our personal lives, and sharing about that for about 20 minutes or so. And then after that, we'll have a bit more of a typical message, a bit of what God's laid on my heart. So. So, yeah, thank you for, is it on? I'll turn it on later. We're just going to be passing it back and forth. But yeah, so we'll start. We live in this beautiful little town as of a month ago. Moving was a bit of a recent thing here. So as you can see, that tower in the back that's been, I think it was built just a little before or after Christopher Columbus sailed for America. So somewhere right in there. Here you go.
So about half a year after we moved to Germany, I started an integration course. The difference between an integration course versus just German classes is that it's preparing all of the partakers to get German citizenship. So it includes an extra 5 weeks spent going over the vocabulary we would need to pass a Leben in Deutschland or Life in Germany test that we would need to submit to the government before we apply. So the course covered A1 to B1 German and then also that extra module. It took me about 9 months and I was very blessed by the experience. It was interesting to somewhat do something that the refugees are expected to do if they want to stay in Germany. And yeah, my class was made up of mostly Ukrainians. There were a few of us Asians, and then there were a few Middle Easterners and Ethiopians as well.
Yeah, and she's done very well with these classes. We've also recently been quite excited and had fun with partnership, the churches that we partner with. And these are specifically in Gießen just before we moved. FEG is a free evangelical church. They have a bit of a refugee ministry and some German classes twice a week, two nights a week, and a bit of a gospel presentation via story form, which I find to be quite fun. So in Gießen there, we partnered with them. I had quite a bit of fun being the shuttle service. We'd use their van and help them out by shuttling people back and forth from camp and to this ministry. So a lot of fun, a lot of edification, and getting to work alongside churches who are excited about reaching people for Christ. It's really encouraging, and I feel, you know, more blessed. I feel like I get more out of it than I put into it sometimes. But so it's fun. Another one is the Netzwerk. It's a network of house churches there in Gießen. And real quick, we early on in being missionaries and this type of life, figure out that everything's moving and you have all these different people coming in and out, and you working with this church and that church, and you know all the people, but who do you, you know, really connect with? So we found it helpful to join a small house church where it's just a couple people, and we met every week on a weeknight, and we had church together in fellowship. So it was just a really cool way to be anchored and to continue to be edified and encouraged and challenged and pushed to continue. So we found that really helpful as a weekly thing. In Neustadt, we just moved to, we have this team here. It's a bit young and small as of yet, but then this is the rest of the team in Germany, and I'll get to it in a little bit. But most of our roles have to do with the administrative side of things, so not things that you see directly in the ministry, as much if you could say that. Very much a part of the ministry. I mean, really, the only reason that I do accounting is so that the ministry can happen. But I work in the finances and logistics side. That is my main role and purpose and way of fulfilling the mission there. And we do have other ministry things we'll get to a little bit later.
I work with the publications team that involves a lot of working on emails, working on social media posts, and getting the word out about what we're doing and how we're doing. And it's been a huge blessing.
So this is our team in Neustadt, and then the rest of them, we recently, with this move, it was a bit of a strategy where we're now mostly separate functioning independent communities where, we are in the northern dot there, and then the other team is in the southern dot. Very much, you know, one mission organization and all of that, but we found it helpful when being hours apart to set ourselves up in a way that that our community can be the vehicle of the gospel. And if we're struggling with having community among ourselves, it just makes that really difficult. So that's why we kind of, for lack of better words, got rid of where some of us were living in Gießen and just kind of moved into two clusters, if you will. So to have somewhat community and more effective ministry, really. So we're excited about it. And I'll show you some pictures of our new house here in a bit.
The other half of our team, not as heavily involved on the administrative side, is the Neustadt ministry team. They take care of the Peace House and also run programs that the refugees are welcome to be involved with. The men's community is headed up by Harrison and Gabe. They often try to involve the men in sports activities to foster connection and, yeah, to, you know, feel out if anyone would be interested in deeper and more, and open to even the faith. So it's been, yeah, really cool to see them be able to, yeah, grow their work there. They are involved in organizing sports activities, and they do really well with that. They also lead out in Bible studies and small group discussions. The women's community is led out by Tori and Cam, which Tori actually just returned back to the States. But they are involved with, yeah, inviting people. They do a lot of things in the park that is an open space, and they, build with a lot of connections there, inviting people to the Peace House. And then the hospitality team is Megan and Stacy, and they oversee any meals and logistics around the Peace House and its needs.
Right, so here's our new house. There's a bit of a story here. It's quite fun. We have been living in Giessen for the last year or so, and it works. It's a good apartment, but there's no outside space, and so in moving to a smaller town, we thought, you know, we can get a good thing about it. We can get a little more space for about the same price. And so we're looking at a house, or we want to find something that has a bit of garden space that also wouldn't make it too difficult to stay, you know, depending on how long that happens to be, how long God calls us, that we could stay without having to move because of space or size or difficulties. And so, yeah, we were praying about it, and things just didn't seem to come up. One day, Sierra and I, we were walking through Neustadt because we were meeting with the team there, and we're walking a new road that we didn't walk before, and we're walking this path, and we look over to the right, and we said, that backyard right there, that's exactly the type of place that would be nice and helpful. Man, it would be so nice if we could have something like that. And then the next day, actually, I found an apartment or a house online, and I was like, yeah, what are the chances? I'll reach out. And so I reached out, and he's like, yeah, let's make an appointment. So we went and looked at it, and like, wow, this is a nice place. This is great. I think we want to stay here. But we didn't tell him quite like that. We said we'll tell him the next day. And the next day, I went back to Neustadt because I had some errands to meet with the team there. It's only a 40-minute train ride. It's a little bit close. And I walked the other path that we had walked together, and I said, you know what? Now I see, like, that backyard that we talked about, that's the house. That's where we were yesterday. I hadn't put it together because we came in a different way, and there was another path I didn't know about, and so I thought it was a different place. But anyway, so yeah, that's where it was. And so I said, yeah, that's the last part. That was God looking out for us there. So it's a really cool situation. The landlord is, like, has grown up here. This is his home place, and I'm not sure what the story is, but he's separated from his wife and lives in the basement apartment, and then his sister and their family, they live in the second floor apartment. And I believe the parents were living in the first floor apartment until last year sometime. They passed away, which became available. And so it was really great because it's a family, and he's very workable, very understanding. We have a great connection. And so, we'll be able to share a lot of things. We don't have access to the garage here, but the backyard there, we'll be able to just, you know, we can communicate with the rest of the family, but we'll be able to use it a lot. So really excited about the opportunities that come with that. We already had a bunch of our friends over for a camp fair before we left, and that was really fun. But yeah, there was a bit of work that went into it. It needed good cleaning. We repainted a lot of things. The styles were maybe a little out of date, in Sierra's words, I think, or just plain ugly. But so we repainted a lot, and I'll show some more pictures. Talk about some more of the work.
Yeah, the kitchen. We really loved the original wood kitchen. The wallpaper, maybe not so much. We did redo that part. And it's really fun to just have the option to host more people. This new apartment just feels like so much space.
That wall is purple, if you can't tell. So. Yeah.
Or was.
So we do have a spare bedroom now, so if anyone wants to come visit, please feel free. But we promise to clean it before you come.
There's still another room. I want to re-wallpaper, and then that my office stuff will move in there. But yeah, that's a very bright, bright red. Anyway, so we repainted that. But yeah, we plan to get that done here soon. So yeah, we should have a guest room, and we're really excited about even using that for our connections and ministry. And you know, we're a little bit spread out even from the other location, and we find it helpful sometimes just to leave where you are and you go visit the other couples, and we want to provide that space for them too. So providing space for our friends, but ones that we're ministering to that are coming to the faith, but also just the people that we work with and our believers in Christ to facilitate more community happening there. So. So we'll go through a bit of highs here. We had quite a bit of fun things. House church, like I just mentioned, is really cool to have a place where it was stable. We went to every week. Familiar with the mission world a bit, like, you go to lots of churches, and so churches sometimes they feel like, oh, you're just visiting here, you're partnering, you always want to talk to somebody, and it's not like you just sit there and, like, receive. So that house church was really cool to just be like, no, you're just here. There's no networking to do, there's no partnering to do. I mean, okay, there is, but, you know, you just be here.
As much fun as German class was, it did take 3 hours out of my morning to attend the classes and an hour or two on homework afterwards. So it is lovely to have some more time to dedicate to other things.
We had some new teammates come, and that's fun. That always brings new energy, new spice to the life, if you will.
While our team was still in Gießen, it was very difficult for us to get together. We were quite spread out, and now being nearer to the team and the Peace House, we're about a 7-minute walk away from everyone. It's just so much easier to, get together and actually build a community and team.
Yeah, and we're excited to host friends. We have been hosting some, but we're using the new apartment as an excuse to have some parties and bring in some of the people we've been ministering to over the years. But, you know, the connections are like, you know, how do you keep going? Or, you know, now they moved away, and do you keep it going or not, or you know, whatever. So we're excited to use the space to host people. As much as it was highs are fun, lows maybe not so much, but we all have them, and it's a normal life, so we're not shying away from that. And as much as, you know, having good community and things in Gießen was, we were moving, and so we were trying to meet with our friends and do all the last things, and it was just, you know, it's just a lot of things, so we're really glad to kind of be past that part a little bit. It was a bit rigorous, at least towards the end there.
If you struggle with seasonal depression, then Germany may not be the place for you. During the winter months, especially after all the Christmas markets in December have blown over and that time has passed, it is really difficult to sometimes just find joy. A lot of the times the sky will just be, it will just go from black and then throughout the day somewhat white, and then it'll go back to black fairly early in the evening, and it can make the winter really long.
Yeah, especially if it's starting at 4 in the evening and this, you know, sky is not getting light till 9 in the morning in the winter. We had a bit of a drawn-out moving process. There's good parts about it. There was a family from I-58 in Greece that came to visit in Germany, and they needed a place to stay for a few weeks. And so we were able to move out of our apartment in Gießen a few weeks early in order for them to be able to stay in our old apartment. And so we kind of hosted them while being in a different city. It was just some extra work, some more things, and our moving process was kind of drawn out since mid-May till when we came about 2 weeks ago to the U.S. It was just putting in as much work and cleaning and painting up there as we can, and then moving, and then, you know, having a bit of apartment space for our friends to come. And then when they left to do that all over, like, finish, get the rest of the stuff out of there and hand over that apartment and get rid of that one. So it's all done, but it was a bit drawn out over a couple months.
After the newness and exciting of part of moving to somewhere new wears off, adjusting to all of the things that you don't know, it just takes time and it can just be really tiring. So we're very excited for that part to be over.
And we're excited for what's ahead of us there in Neustadt. Very early on here, we want to find a church community and start building partnerships. We have had work happening in Neustadt. We have had people there. We've always just been networking or had contacts with churches quite a bit, quite a distance away from Neustadt. And we just find it so valuable to be, like, the closer the better to Neustadt, to finding a place where both we can find some edification and attend there, but also a place where we can take our friends to who are not believers yet, or people who go further. And it's also a part of our vision as a mission. We're not trying to be another church denomination. We're not trying to plant churches per se, but we are trying to be an extension of the local church and in that, like, try to facilitate the new believers into being integrated into a local church. And so that's all just much easier if we're doing that, if we're a part of church. And so that's quite natural. But it is a bit of a need, a lack there in Neustadt. There's only 2 state churches in the town itself of 9,000, and not really much else. So I'm going to be doing some church visiting, starting with some churches further away that are theologically sound, that have some, that are interested in missions and things, and then kind of work my way in to see if they're interested. And maybe, hey, it might look like eventually some sort of church plant happening. I don't know, you know, if they're interested in something. But yeah, there's just a real need for church communities that are alive and missional and sound close to Neustadt. If you want to think of it this way, like in America, we still have, what, 60, I think there's like, what, some 60 or 70% confessing Christians, but then about 16% active evangelical Christians here in, correct me if I'm wrong, about 16% active evangelical Christians in America, I think. Whereas in Germany, that number is down at like 3 to 4%. So the options you have are just different. It's a bit of a different environment, just a little less.
So our work is a lot behind the scenes, but we're really excited to even just have the option to be more involved and hands-on in the Peace House ministry, hopefully, and yeah, even to just be an extension of the Peace House in our own home.
And yeah, this is a little cliche, but we want to find God at everything we do. It's so easy, especially for someone like me, but so easy to get just involved in the mission, what we do, this and that, and the structure, and the meetings, and the things, and all of that, and kind of forget to keep the vision or keep what God wants us there for in front of us. So you can pray for us in that way, and that's where we want to push into more.
And our first project when we return will be to tackle that office so that we can host people. We'll let you know when it's ready.
So yeah, prayer requests. So just some of what we'd want to push into and where we see lack far. Pray for God's glory and redemption, and that would be experienced by those we encounter. Whether that's the refugees we meet, people from Middle Eastern backgrounds, to the local German population, like our landlord who grew up traditionally Catholic and really doesn't want to do anything with Christianity at the moment. Other missionaries and people who are wanting to do work, that God would work in their lives and help them, you know, balance that.
So we have been searching and praying for a pastoral couple in Neustadt for almost a year, and we still haven't found anyone who, has decided they can fill those expectations. But it would, really benefit the team to have a somewhat of a, house parent couple on site, just to be able to lend to experience and wisdom. We are fairly young, and it would just be lovely to have access to, someone else's advice.
And pray for more churches, like I described earlier. There are some things happening, but even just in Neustadt itself, like for 9,000 people, there should be more than just two churches even. It's not, like I said, it's not our primary vision to plant churches ourselves and whatever, but it is something personally I would like to see happen. You know, if I look at the area and I look at what God wants to do there, I think we can pray for more laborers in the harvest field in that area.
We're also praying and searching for some young, passionate men to join the work in Taunusstein. They also do somewhat of what we would do in Neustadt, maybe on a more structured way. But just someone who'd be passionate about sharing the gospel with refugees and incorporating them into their daily lives and just, learning how to bring them along and not so that they're not forgotten either.
Yeah, and pray for wisdom in those long-term relationships, especially with people who are believers, who've come believers along the way. I feel that it is our responsibility to at least help them get connected to another church, help them to find some sort of active community. But if they're not believers, they're somewhere along the path of Christ, it's just you need wisdom and how much effort to put in, especially if they have moved away or the situation's different now or they seem disinterested. And so pray for wisdom in that. We have a bit of some of our information here. We'll put up here later. You can take pictures of it if you want. But I think now would be the time for prayer if that's what you had in mind there.
We stand, and Sim and Barbie, if you want to come up with your family, and Abram and Barb, you've been communicating regularly with Seth, so it'd be good for you to come up as well.
right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you so much that you have blessed us these many years ago with a young son, Father. We just thank you now that we know that we couldn't keep him in our house forever, Father. We know that you have gifted him to us. So, Father, we send them out, Father, with your Holy Spirit, by your direction, by your wisdom, Father. As they go to Germany, as they minister to the refugees there, as they share your gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, Father, to those who are lost, to those who are wandering, to those who are seeking, Father, we just pray that you would continue this work that you have started, Father, there in Europe, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we lift up Seth and Sierra to you this morning. Lord, like Seth has mentioned, some prayer requests, I pray that you would just meet each need, Father, for a pastor, a couple, and also others, Lord, that you would just, you also know the unspoken needs, Father, that you would just envelop them with your love, with your care, and you would empower them for the work that you have called them to, Father. We commit them to you. I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would rest upon them, that you would, Lord, as they build new friendships, as they continue to focus on the long-standing friendships, Lord, I pray that they would be able to bloom and that you would just continue to guide them and direct them. We commit them to you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for Seth and Sierra. God, I pray that you would continue leading them, Lord, in their journey. Father, just pray that they could, yes, first of all, be in unity with you, in love with you, love with each other. God, I pray that out of that would flow life of Christ and would minister to, whether it's a team, whether it's the refugees that they become or that they come in contact with, whether it's doing even mundane things, God, I pray that in that you would give them strength to live and live for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would especially bring people around them that would encourage them, and whether it's through a local church, whether it's through bringing a pastoral couple or more team members to walk alongside them, Father, I pray that you would surround them with godly people that would point them to Jesus, and that through that they would be encouraged and they would be satisfied or brought to satisfaction in you, in Jesus' name.
God, for the opportunity to stand with Seth and Sierra this morning and for what they've shared, God, I pray that you would meet every need according to your will and purpose and your time. Lord, you work things out in your time, so we yield that to you. We also do pray for, as they travel back and forth, as they travel around the areas there, you would bring your safety about them, Father. And also physically, spiritually, emotionally, Father, that you would protect them, help them to carry the life of Jesus Christ and make relationships to those people that they come in contact with, whether it be through logistics and planning and scheduling. Lord, you can work through those things, and as we heard the statistics where there's a low percentage that even would consider themselves Christians, Father, I pray this is how things change. I pray that you would use that to begin to change that statistic. And so through that, God, that people would come to life and there would be a revival in that little community starting at that house, Father. Maybe even with the neighbor, the owner, Father. I pray, God, that they can even minister to him. And we thank you, Father, that we can look to you wherever we are. And as Seth and Sierra look to your Holy Spirit to guide them, may you work through them, Father, for your honor and for your glory. So may your blessing rest upon them in Jesus' name.
So yeah, come visit us if you want. Feel free to take a picture of that if you like. I think we'll show it later as well. But yeah. Am I on here? Okay, good. I'm excited to bring what's on my heart here. And I'll go a little bit rapid fire here. Forgive me if I do too much because I don't want us to be late for lunch. Depending on what our priorities are, I guess, but try to be done here soon. So, for our text this morning, I'm going to read Luke 10, verse 30 through 35, and it's going to be helpful, I think, bring it up or have it in front of you. How do I do this? Just unplug this. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay you.'" I'm really excited for this, and this is a familiar story to most of us. Probably in just reading or listening to the scripture, you'll find edification and critique. So let's look at it a little bit. In verse 30, what do we see here? It's a man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. A man with plans, maybe an ambitious man. And then there was an emergency, and he was helpless. In verse 31, what do we see happen here? Great, look, someone who's coming, someone who just happens to come by. And like, yes, he's looking over. Oh no, what is he doing? He's leaving. Who's that? Oh, great, it's a Levite. This one will help. Yes, he's looking. He's coming over. Oh, no, what is he doing? He's leaving too. A random person is coming. Oh, it's a foreigner. And he's coming to me. Is he here to help me or to hurt me? He's coming closer. Oh, he's bandaging me. Where is he taking me? This place looks nice. Why doesn't he leave? Why is he so nice? And verse 35, it's been a whole day, and he's paying the innkeeper for me. Who is this? So in my understanding of Scripture, I'm open to the idea that passages of Scripture can be rightly understood in multiple different ways while still being doctrinally sound. And by doctrinally sound, I mean that it doesn't contradict the rest of the scripture and generally fits with the church's tradition and understanding of doctrine. But I do want to preface it. If anyone doesn't feel like it's an accurate interpretation of scripture, why, please come talk to me. Or if it didn't make sense to you. I want to be an open book. Now, I want to invite you to read this, to join me in reading this in another way. And let's see what we can discover by looking at this story from another perspective. I think like a diamond, I think truth can shine out in multiple directions. Back to verse 30. Who was helpless? Are you the man on the Jericho road? We are all on a road, whether we like it or not. We're going somewhere. We have plans to do, we have people to meet, things to see. And you know, things don't always go as planned. There's evil in this world. Therefore, there's killing and fighting and darkness. John 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy." And we're helpless. This man became totally unable to save himself. We are the lost sheep. We are caught in the thicket. We've been injured by the devourer. We are helpless and dying. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Next verse. Look, there's someone coming who can help. I think Jesus used the words priest and Levite since they would be well known and understood by the crowd. They have some different duties and responsibilities, which I won't go into here, but I think Jesus used them because they were, generally speaking, the protectors and shepherds and doctors, physicians of the time. And you can feel the rise and the fall of the wounded man's hope as the priest looks at him, and then he walks away. In verse 32, look, great, there's another person coming who can help. Again, feel the rise of the wounded man's hope as this Levite not only looks, but comes over to him. And then he walks away. This is where the strategy of evil takes a step further and twists the knife. You know, the enemy isn't content with just destroying God's creation. He wants them to suffer. Like a good bully or torturer, he wants them to see hope for deliverance and then be crushed by the thing they thought might help. And sadly, many of us have experienced some of these things, but we see in harmful relationships, in words people say, in abuse, even in the work that we do, working with refugees when people have trauma, we see that many times the thing that could have helped, that what hurts the most is that that what could have helped them, that thing was used against them. I think evil has a strategy. Those who study trauma will say that it isn't about the thing that happened as much as it is, rather, that what could have helped was turned against them. Peter Levine, he says, trauma is not what happens to us, but what we hold inside in the absence of an empathetic witness. So what's been hurt in relationships needs to be healed in relationships. There's a general principle here. And so it's a little bit of a rabbit trail, but let's just have good relationships in order to reverse the strategy of evil. Let's be those people who do reverse the strategy. It's not something we can't overcome by the grace of God. There is power. In verse 33, who comes here? The Good Samaritan. He came, he looked, and he had compassion. What did this Samaritan do differently than the other helpers? He had compassion. Well, the first thing, before he did anything else, he had compassion. And who comes to us in our brokenness and despair when all others have failed us? Who can rescue us? Who comes and sees everything, all the brokenness, and has compassion? It's Jesus. It's God himself. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, Lamentations 3. And what is this? In verse 34, he's coming even closer. You know, we were utterly helpless. We're fallen from the path, wounded, bleeding, dying. And Jesus came as that unlikely rescuer, poured in of his own oil and wine, bandaged our wounds, and he brought us to a place of healing. He stayed by our side as we began to mend. Isaiah 40 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Verse 35, who is this that pays for a poor, helpless stranger? He paid, the Good Samaritan paid for the man, his expenses. 2 Corinthians says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So let's look at it one more time. What if the man on the road would have denied help? What if the man on the road would have just tried to minimize his wounds? What if he would have denied that he was in need? What if he would have turned, the Samaritan away because he just wasn't the type of help that he was looking for? The wrong nationality, maybe. You know, I think we're all on a road. We've been attacked, beaten, and in many ways, helpless. We all have been half dead. And the wounds are messy. They're visible wounds. We're bleeding. There are the losses. We've been battered. There are deep hurts because we've been abandoned. But there is a rescuer. The Good Samaritan was an unexpected candidate for this. They were foreigners. They were different. They were even more lost, or you could say further away from God than the Jews. They didn't understand as much of his principles and what God wanted. In our story, there's also an unexpected rescuer. It's Jesus. It's God himself. Jesus conquered sin and darkness. He came, died on the cross, but he conquered it even in a different way than even his disciples expected. Out of his love, he poured out his oil and wine. And he brings us to a place of healing. And he's not satisfied with just bandaging the wounds. He didn't just stay on the road and bandage the wounds. No, he took him to the inn. He wants us to experience total restoration. And he pays the innkeeper for our expenses. Out of his abundance, he creates for us a refuge. And now, this is the best part. And now, we may find ourselves at the inn. We are on a path of healing. Our Savior has paid the ransom for us. And we may find ourselves in a bit of waiting. Not everything is as it should be. And we can look around us pretty quickly. We can see that there's war, there's fighting, there's... Heaven is not on earth yet. There are disasters, both natural and man-made. Many times the innocent still suffer. But, the best part, but he said he would return. He would return. He promised to come back to pay the debt. It matters to him that there's judgment and justice. Jeremiah 23, verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. He's coming back. And he will repay the innkeeper. He will make everything right, everything that's still lacking out of his abundance. He will rule and reign. This is good news. This is the gospel. This is a glorious hope. And it's an invitation for all of us. Will I, like the man on the Jericho Road, allow myself to be rescued? Are there areas where I deny my neediness? Am I trying to fix myself? Am I living in the hope of his return? This invitation, I mean, if this is a time where this is the first time that you're understanding God's rescue and his plan to rescue us, and you want to respond to that, I think this is the time. The altar is open. And I want to end with a prayer here. And I invite you to engage with the prayer, and where you can, insert your own words. Let's pray. Jesus, we cry out to you. Like the man on the road, we're stuck, battered, and needy. We recognize our helplessness. Lord, we're unable to get up. We've been beaten down. Those who have helped, who could have helped, walked away from us. Others said, maybe that man deserved it. They said, I have real work to do. Jesus, intervene in my plight. I'm helpless. I'm dying. Now look, there comes someone. He has nail scars in his hands and compassion in his eyes. Look, he pours out his oil and wine. He's washing me. He takes me into his arms. He takes care of me at his own cost. And he promised he's coming back. Jesus, thank you for your work on the cross. Thank you for giving yourself, even your very life, for me. You saved me out of the miry pit. You saved me from my terribly inadequate resources. You saved me from the evil one. To you alone, my Savior, belongs all the glory. Jesus, you alone save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for sharing with us. Appreciate that the gospel message of Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Praise the Lord. Revelation 22 talks about, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So it's a free for all if we come to him as we look to him for our Savior, that he, the invitation is there. One thing that stood out to me in the story on about the Good Samaritan is, one thing, the Samaritan came, he had the provisions that he needed to help. He had the oil, he had the wine, and he had the beast to carry him to the inn. So it seems like he came prepared. And as we journey life's journey, may we be prepared and to help where we, when we see the need arises, and be prepared to help that. So yeah, thank you for sharing. Really appreciate it. We do have a noon meal prepared, so we want to pray for that and invite each one to stay for the noon meal. There should be plenty of food, so let's pray. Why don't we stand, and then we'll pray, and then we have a couple of announcements in the end. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you have paid for it in full by the blood of the Lamb, that the invitation is there, that we can come, that whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. We thank you for that provision that you have made for us, Lord, and we just praise you, we bless you. Lord, we commit this day to you. We thank you for the message that Seth brought forth on the Good Samaritan and the illustration of how you are that Good Samaritan, how you have saved us out of darkness, how you have healed our broken heart, and that you have set us free, Father. We praise you and bless you. Also, thank you for the noon meal. I pray that you will bless and sanctify it to our bodies. I pray that you will bless the hands that prepared it, Lord, that we can receive it as nourishment. We commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There was on the projector about Ladies' Night this week. This week is the week of church cleaning, so there will not be Ladies' Night on Wednesday evening. Is there anything else, Jesse? Members meeting this afternoon at 2:30. Jethro, you have something?
Yeah, so boys camp starts on Thursday then. I will have packing lists in the back here. I'll have papers there. And feel free to just direct message me if you have any questions about it this week. So yeah, we'll stay in touch about that.
Okay. Thank you for coming. Greet somebody, bless somebody, and then it will be an announcement, a new meal is ready, so God bless you.